If you want to open your Bible, I'm going to read again John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. I love this chapter. Why? Because I find myself many times in this chapter. And more than anything else, we want to experience the Word of God in our lives and the Spirit of the Lord working in our lives. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight. And we want to say thank You for giving us the opportunity to be here in Your presence tonight. Yes, it's true, we had so many other options to be on a Friday night. But by moved by Your Holy Spirit, we are here in Your house, singing to You, worshiping to You. And we want to say thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. I'm praying for everybody who came tonight. And I'm asking You in the name of Jesus, send Your Holy Spirit from heart to heart and mind to mind. Reveal Yourself to them, Jesus. As we will go deep into the Word of God, we do not want to see Gabby tonight, Jesus. But we want to see You. We know that the Word has the power to change, to save, to heal, to restore. If there is here people who need salvation, we ask You in the name of Jesus, reveal Yourself to them, Jesus. If there is here people who need a special touching from Your Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we ask You, touch their mind, touch their heart, their soul. Open our mind, Jesus, to receive the Word of God. And not only that, but as we leave this place, to live a life that reflects You, honor You, and glorify You. We want to say thank You, Jesus, for everybody who came. We want to say thank You, Jesus, for Emmanuel Church. We want to say thank You, Jesus, for this night. You blessed us to be in Your presence. We love You, we honor You, and glorify Your name. And all God's people say, amen. To the King of Kings, hallelujah, amen. If you want to sit down. Hallelujah, God is good, praise God. It's a joy and an honor for me to be here tonight with you guys. And I bring you greetings from the most beautiful city on earth, Portland, Oregon. It's not that beautiful right now because we have some special people there called Antifa, which they do a great job to destroy the city. But anyway, we pray that God is going to bring a revival. God is going to do something amazing in our city. And for such a time as this, we are there, reflecting the love of Jesus Christ, showing people that we love Jesus, and not only that, but we live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from my senior pastor, Fratele Vasile Campion, special greetings for Fratele Lazar Gog, your family pastor, for everybody who come tonight, for Kaleen Gore, for Andrew Valian, thank you so much for allowing me tonight to be here with you, preaching the gospel. Also, we as a Philadelphia church, we have a beautiful group of people, young people, who gather together every Wednesday night. And every Wednesday night, we have a desire to worship Jesus. We call ourselves Reveal Gathering, and because we have a great mission and a clear mission, and our mission is to reveal Christ to all nations in word, worship, and community. And through us, we pray that God is going to do something amazing, and we know that as we live in Portland, Oregon, as we serve there, for me as a youth pastor and the assistant pastor, for such a time as this, we know that God has a purpose, clear mission with us. And for us is to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, I bring you greetings from my wife, Monica, and from my amazing 4 kids. God bless me. And I usually say, I do not introduce myself, but I want to say something. Job from the Bible and I, we have something in common. And not because I was Gabi Had, I was suffering a lot like him. But there is a beautiful verse in the Bible there. In Job chapter 42, verse 15, the Bible is telling us, in all the land, there was found beautiful girls as Job had. So Job had 3 girls. I have 3 girls. And let me tell you something. I think I am blessed and honored to have those amazing kids growing up serving together Jesus Christ. In 2019, me and my wife decided more than anything else to seek the face of Jesus Christ. When we went in 2019, we made the decision, no matter what, even life is not going to make any sense for us. From that point, we want to seek the face of Jesus more than anything else. As we were praying, fasting, reading the Word of God, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, one day in the early morning, because I'm an early person, I love to wake up early in the morning, have my coffee, my Bible, read, pray, change our mind, our hearts, and the Holy Spirit to talk to us. In that morning, I received a message from the Holy Spirit. I heard a few times that the Holy Spirit speaking to me and delivering the message for some people around me. But this time when I got the message from the Holy Spirit, I was a little bit scared to deliver the message. I went to my wife, to Moni, and I said, Moni, I believe, I knew 100% is the voice of the Holy Spirit, but I was a little bit scared to tell her. And I said, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and told me this, that in 2020, a spirit of fear will come upon the church of God. People, they're going to be scared. They're not going to be united. They're going to separate themselves. When I got that message from the Holy Spirit, I was afraid to go to my senior pastor and deliver the message. Even in that moment, I'm the person which, when I got something from the Holy Spirit, I take my notebook, put everything there. This time, I completely refused to do that. I said, I do not want to deliver this message to the church. I do not want to deliver the message to the families. I do not want to deliver this message to young people. But as we were seeking the face of Jesus, praying and fasting, going deep into the Word of God every single day in our life, one day I was invited to preach in Atlanta, Pastor Julian Costa Church. Knowing what the Holy Spirit was telling me for the last couple of months, and being afraid to deliver the message which was coming from the Holy Spirit, I went to my brother Julian Costa and I said, Julian, I want to pray more tonight with you. Do you have somebody in your local church which they do not know me, which they are prophet, who can deliver a message from the Lord? And he said, Yes, we have many people in our church, but there is a girl from Austria here with us. By the way, she's going to come to our house tonight, and we're going to pray, and we ask that the Holy Spirit is going to deliver the message. We prayed that night. We spent hours and hours in prayer. And as we were concluding around 2 a.m. the night in prayer, the message from the Lord came directly to me, and He said like this: not long time ago, I delivered a message to you, and you've been scared to deliver the message to other people. But I'm going to give you a sign, the Holy Spirit said. Because in my mind was debating if that was the voice of the Holy Spirit or that was Gabi Hada. And the Holy Spirit came directly to me and said, I'm going to give you a sign. In the next couple of months, I'm going to touch your family in a very, very powerful way. 2019 was to the end. We start 2020, and we as a church, as a Philadelphia church, we always start with 3 weeks of praying and fasting, seeking the face of Jesus Christ. After those 21 days of praying and fasting, we usually have steruinte, as we call, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and for the filling on the Holy Spirit. I'm the guy more like, which I love this kind of stuff. I'm the guy who like pushing to the brothers, to the church, invite them to come to prayer. Because I believe there is power in the gospel, but I believe there is power in the prayer too. Amen for that. And as we were praying the first day, the second day, the third night came, and that was something amazing and beautiful. A lot of like young people came to that prayer. And that moment I was remembering what the Holy Spirit told me that a spirit of fear is going to come upon the church, but God is going to raise up a generation from young kids will open their mouth and prophesy, have dreams, revelation, have an impact into the kingdom of God. And in that moment when I saw like over 100 young people from the age, listen to me, from the age of 10 to the age of 20, coming there in the front, seeking the face of Jesus Christ, I looked to my wife and I said, I believe God is going to deliver the message tonight. And many people was touched by the Holy Spirit. And through that many people, my daughter of faith, which that time was 13 years old, was blessed with the gift of speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit. The other day we came again because we love to go with the family together, worshiping and staying into the connection with the Holy Spirit. We've been together with the family, and on a Thursday night, usually in our church we have Awana. You know, Awana, the kids start learning the Bible and Bible verses. And I have a daughter which is full of energy. Her name is Grace, full of life, full of joy. And she came to me and said, Tati, can I go? It's 7 o'clock. Can I go in parking lot to play with the people? Because Awana is going to start only at 7 o'clock, 7:30. And I want to play 30 minutes with my friend. And I say, Grace, I know you're full of energy. And if you leave this place, I'm going to see you at 9 o'clock. So I said, no, you're going to stay here with Tati. And you're going to pray at 7:30. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to take you to the Awana classes. Was 8 o'clock. The first prayer never stopped. And I looked to my pastor, my senior pastor, and I said, Brother Vasile, I think it's time to invite people. I'm going to go to the people to say, to come in front, to pray more, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And my daughter was listening exactly what I said. She was near me all the time. But one time around 9 o'clock, because she completely didn't want to go to the Awana, she was under the power of the Holy Spirit. An old person from our church came to me and said, Brother Gabi, is that your daughter over there in corner? And I said, yes, it's my daughter. I think God blessed her with the gift of speaking in tongues. And I looked to that old man and I said, you know what? I love you. I respect you. Please do not understand me wrong. You do not understand English. She prays in English. I just been there a few minutes ago. I don't think so, you understand. And he said, okay. After another like 5 minutes, another person came to me and he said, Brother Gabby, is that your daughter over there? And I said, yes, it's my daughter. I think she's baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I said, Brother, I love you. I respect you. But she's not. 20 minutes ago, I was there. She was praying in English. She prayed beautiful. Maybe you do not understand. And after like 10 minutes, the prayer quieted down a little bit. And here we go. I heard the voice. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my daughter. And she was praying and singing and praying and singing in other tongues. When we come home, listen to me, for the next 2 hours at home, she never stopped. She didn't stop worshiping and praising God in tongues and having prophecy and having word of knowledge in that moment. I was looking to my wife and we were looking in the house and we couldn't imagine how the love of Jesus Christ surrounded our family. The next day, we went again to the prayer. That was a Friday night. A lot of people. The baby room was open. The little one in my family, her name is Hope. She's only 7 years old. She went into the baby room. She was playing there with other people. But around 8, 10 o'clock, we heard a big noise in the church. I got so scared. I thought the church is going to collapse. I looked around and I said, ma'am, maybe I'm the only one crazy in this place. But I saw another like two sisters, a few young people doing the same thing like me. And I went to them and I said, listen to me. Did you hear something? And they looked at me and said, Brother Gabby, I think Acts chapter 2 is going to fill up tonight. We're going to experience after chapter 2 from the book of Acts. And I was like, hallelujah, praise God. And in that moment we said that. The church exploded. Everybody from the kids' room, everybody from the Sunday school rooms, everybody from the offices came into the basement. The basement was full right there. And everybody was praying, worshiping Jesus Christ. And Pastor Vasile came to me and said, Brother Gabby, what are we going to do now? And I said, Pastor Vasile, we're going to pray. Even if we're going to stay until midnight, no problem, we're going to pray. No. What are we going to do with your daughter over there? Because I think God blessed her with the speaking in tongues. And I was like, oh no. And in that moment, she looked to me, she looked to my wife. She ran directly to my wife and grabbed her. And she was praying and praying and praying around, listen, 10 o'clock, the prayer was done. Because we couldn't stop some people praying in tongues and worshiping God. We went together into the baby room. In that baby room, from 10 p.m. until almost 1 a.m. in the morning, they were worshiping, praising God. And another people got filled with the Holy Spirit. And another people was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And many other people had prophecy, word of knowledge for different people in our church. That night, God touched my third daughter. And in that night, listen to me, I repented. And in that night, I came before the Lord and I said, Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel anymore. I'm not going to be ashamed of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm not here to defend my beliefs, but listen carefully to me what I'm saying. I'm not going to be ashamed of what I believe. I'm not going to be ashamed in the gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed in the work of the Holy Spirit. I consider myself a full gospel Pentecostal, believing the full gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that has the power to restore, knowing that has the power to change, knowing that has the power to save us. But more than that, I believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not to the end. I believe God is going to raise up a generation. I believe if all people from our church, they do not want to praise in tongues, they do not want to worship anymore, I believe God is going to bring the kids. I believe God is going to bring something special. That's why I love when people, they do revival conference. Do you know what? Our team, 2020-21, it's revival, spiritual revival. And we were seeking the face of Jesus. And we were praying that God is going to do something. And God, we had so many prophecy. And we had so many words from the Lord that God is going to raise something. And to us, He's going to expand the kingdom of heaven. Praise God for that. I love this story from the book of John chapter 4. And we're going to go a little bit into the deep of this story. One day, Jesus was traveling from the south, Judea, to the north, exactly in Galilee. As you know, between south and north, there is a small region called Samaria. And in that moment, if you want to go from south to north and north to south, you have two options. First option, you can go around Samaria. And the second option, you can go directly through Samaria. As we know from the Bible, the relationship between Jewish people, Judea and Samaria, was never ever a good relationship. And how we know that? We know from the First Kings chapter 12. The nation of Israel was divided in two nations in the days of Roboam. More than that, in verse 9, chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible is telling us this Samaritan people, they never had a good relationship with the people from Judea. But more than that, we see as God, as Jesus was talking to the woman, we see that people from Samaria and people from Judea, they had their belief, total different belief system. Some of the people, they were worship God on the mountain. Some of the people, they were going back to the Jerusalem. Never, ever going together. And let me tell you something. And today, maybe sometimes we look to this passage and say, they have their own problem. Let me tell you something. We have the same problem too. We have the same problem too. Our tradition, beautiful Romanian tradition, versus the Word of God. Where is the dilemma? Do we listen what the tradition is saying, or do we listen what the Word of God is saying? It's do we listen what the Word of God is saying, or do we listen what only the Holy Spirit is saying? You see the dilemma? The same dilemma they had, we have, but in different ways, you know. We have the dilemma of fellowship together as a body, coming on Thursday, Tuesday, wherever, when you got have a gathering, or just going in my own small group, having fellowship with the people. We had the same problems as those people. And I want to call my sermon like this: the truth, which is the gospel, in a drifting culture. In a drifting culture, as we live and we see that everything is changing day by day. Crazy thing is happening around us. You know what? I believe the truth needs to stay the truth. I believe the young people, our kids, young family, older family needs to stay on the foundation, which is the Word of God and which is the truth. And you know what? Jesus decided that day to go to Samaria and stop there. And He was stopping there. Here we go. A woman came to the world to take some water. And let me tell you something. I was in Middle East. I know how hot it is during the day. Nobody in the Middle East want to do activity during the day. Everybody is doing early in the morning because it's only 100 degrees. Or in the night, which is maybe 98 degrees. During the day, it's very, very hot. I've been there and I had to go in Baghdad. I had to go in different, in Iraq when I was going in a mission trip. Over 135 degrees. You don't have air to breathe. It's so hard. But this woman decided, because she was ashamed of everything she is, she decided to go during the day. But you know what? This is the beautiful thing. Her road intersects with Jesus Christ's road. And in something in that moment, when our way is coming in Jesus Christ's way, soul is happening. Hallelujah to that. And we looked at this woman, she had at least four relationship, broke relationship. Her relationship with the Jewish people was broke. Her relationship with the Samaritan people was broke. Her relationship with her family was broke. And we know, verse 16 and 17, that she had a lot of husbands. And more than that, her relationship with God was completely, completely bankrupt. Let me tell you something. We live in a time of a great compromise and great deception and great falling away, even in the church. You heard me, even in the church. The enemy has assaulted the body of Christ more than any time in this world. And especially the people who are not rooted deep into the Word of God in the moment that enemy is assaulting their life. When the persecution will come, when the opposition will come, they will go away. They are gone. Let me tell you something. The Bible is the Word of God. And in that moment, listen carefully what I'm saying now. In the moment you step out from the foundation of the Word of God, you stepped into the quicksand of deception, false doctrine, and many other things. That's why we as a young generation, we as a young family, we need to stand firm more than anything else in today's day on the foundation, which is the Word of God and which is Jesus Christ. Don't even tell me, please do not understand me. And I'm telling you not from a spirit of jealousy, but I'm telling you because I love you and I care for you. Don't even tell me you don't have time for the Word of God. When you spend an hour, 2 hours on Facebook, Instagram, and you name it. Don't even tell me you do not have word, you don't have time for the Word of God. When you spend shopping, going for your body, for your own good, spending hours with your friends and not only malls, you name it. If you do not have time for the Word of God, change your life to get into the Word of God. And I believe in the moment we make time for the Word of God, let me tell you something. Something powerful will happen in your life and will happen in your my life. The first thing I want to share with you is this. The truth, the gospel, will never change, even the culture does. The truth, the gospel, will never change, the culture does. I'm sick and tired of people going online and arguing what I believe, what you believe, what she said, what he said, all this kind of like, you name it. I think for us, it's more important than anything else as a body of Christ together to seek the face of Jesus Christ more than anything else. You know what? Apostle Paul knew that one day those super intelligent people, the philosophers of this world, they're going to stand up. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 is telling us, do not let those people, which they are very wise, let's put it this way, but they do not have any brain in their mind, to control your mind, to control your deeds, to control you everything. Do not let those people, this philosophy of this world, of the culture, to control you. Remember this, what Paul said to them in Colossians chapter 1 verse 28, verse 27. Is not your philosophy, is not my philosophy, is not your ability, is not my ability. Is not that the fact you are very wise or you are not very wise, but what's the most powerful is that it's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in us. The hope of glory. Not my philosophy, not my intention, not my ability, but everything that gave sense to this world is Christ in us. I love one day what Reinhard Bonnke said. I love this guy. God gave me the honor to meet him. And one day I was actually in Togo in a gospel crusade with them, with their organization. One day he said, Reinhard Bonnke said like this, the world is now waiting for a new definition of Christianity. The world is waiting for a new demonstration of Christianity through the power of the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The world is now waiting for some philosophical people to redefine the concept of Christianity, to redefine the concept of family, to redefine the concept of church. The world is waiting for the church to demonstrate the power of the gospel. And that's why we are calling such a time as this for us to prove that the gospel is true. As you guys know, my heart, it's 100% for mission. I love. In the moment I became the assistant pastor in our local church, one thing I was telling the church board and one thing I was telling the my senior pastor is this. I'm here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do anything possible. But please do not stop me going to mission field. Yes, I will stop going in America to different churches to go to different events. But please do not stop me to go in a mission field. In 2019, for the fourth time, I had the opportunity to go back in Iraq. This time our mission was changing from the north part of Iraq going back in the south, in Baghdad. We flew to Baghdad, and from Baghdad we did some gospel crusade. In that time, God put in our heart, as you guys know, Brother Narcis Popovich, which came many times to your local church. He's a great friend of mine and a man of God. In that night, in that time, 2019, we decided to be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We decided to preach more on the street. We decided not only to go in the underground church to meet with the Christian, but we decided to go on the street to preach the gospel. He had the same vision. I had the same vision. When we talked over the phone, our vision matched and we knew it is from the Holy Spirit. And in that time, God opened a door for us to go in a mission field again in Baghdad. And you know what? When we got there in Baghdad, near Baghdad, there is the Imperial Babylonian. Exactly what you read in the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, Shabednego, about Daniel. I was going in that city. I was seeing with my own eye everything what the Bible is saying. But what one day completely moved me was when I was in the city of Kirkuk. When I saw the Mormântulu Shadrach, Meshach, Shabednego, and Daniel, I started crying like a baby. When I went to the Valley of Dura, when I went to that time where that, you know, places where the Bible was like people experiencing God in a powerful world, in a powerful way, I started crying. And as we were driving back to our local camp, to the missionary camp, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to call my wife. I didn't want to talk to my kids, not because I do not love them, but because I was so touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in that night, I went back to my room and I started crying. I took the Bible. I was kneeling near my bed and I started reading the book of Daniel. And I was imagining everything was there. When I got to the chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, Shabednego was in the Valley of Dura, I imagined everything what was happening in that time. And I was imagining on my side those people ready to die for the truth, ready to die for the gospel, ready to die for their belief system, ready to die for their God. And I was looking to myself, sometimes ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, sometimes being quiet, sometimes we being like put on the side, not wanted to say nothing. And I, in that moment, I repent. I confess to the Lord and I said, Jesus, help me to be a testimony for you. We saw in that time the culture was trying to deviate them from the truth. The culture was trying to put stop on their mouth to not talk anymore, to not pray, to not worship God. But you know what? Those people decided to stay bold for their faith. You know what? Because I believe, listen carefully, the truth needs to stay strong. Even the culture will change. The truth the beliefs we have in Jesus Christ, we need to stay strong. Even everything around us, they're going to change. Even the people, they're going to come to us to quiet you. Even the people, they're going to come to us to put you, to kneel you. Even the people, they're going to want to kill you. Let me tell you something. I believe we need to stay strong for our belief in Jesus Christ. Then the revival will come. And I do not want to live a life with just a form of godliness. I do not want to live a life just in desperation. I want to live a life rooted in the truth, in the gospel, a life full of the Holy Spirit. That's why John chapter 4 verse 24 says that the worship, they worship in spirit and truth. The Spirit, listen carefully what I'm saying, the Spirit will always bring revelation from the Word of God. Worship is not an event. Even we as a Romanian community, we do a lot of great events. Worship is not a music performance. Even we have so beautiful and amazing worship teams, fanfare, choir, you name it. Worship is not just a feeling. You cannot be forced. You can't be forced to sing. You can't be forced to dance or to clap. But you cannot be forced to worship. Why? Because worship, I believe, this is my beliefs. I believe worship is a response to God's love for us. Worship is that we value Him above everyone and above everything else. In other words, Jesus is everything. The second thing I want to share with you, I believe this generation is not just called for a simple calling, but it's called for a great calling for such a time as this. There is a man in the Bible, his name is Jeremiah. When he was a child, actually when God spoke to my heart that God is going to raise a young generation, even kids, to prophesy, to work more into the kingdom of God, I was like so confused in my mind. And I said, God, give me a Bible verse. And in that moment came my wife to me and said, open your Bible, the book of Jeremiah. And you're going to see verse 4, 5, 6, 7, that the Bible is saying, I was a child. God was using child to be a prophet. Looking to Jeremiah, we will say his grandfather was a priest. His father was a priest. Human talking, he needs to become a priest. But you know what? In that time, the people, they were compromising. They were not delivering the message. But you know what? God looked to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I do not want you to be a priest. I want you to be my voice. In a time of compromise, in a time of like going left and right, we need people who deliver the message of God for such a time as this. It was not easy for Jeremiah to be a prophet. It was not easy for Jeremiah to be a prophet in that culture. It was not easy for Jeremiah to be a prophet in that area. It was not easy for Jeremiah to stand up to deliver the message of God. But you know what? He stand up on the truth, on the gospel. He stand up on the word of God, knowing even people around them, even the culture will change. He will speak the truth, because he had a great calling upon his life. But you know what? As we did, I did, you did, he came with a list of excuses. And he said, God, the task is too demanding. The calling is too big for me. More than that, he looked to himself and he said, the time is not right. Do I need to go now? And said, the Lord said, yes, you have to go now. You know what? Sometimes we come before the Lord with some of his excuses. I came before the Lord when God spoke to my heart and told me that I want to use you. I came to the Lord and I said, look at me, Jesus. My talent is not that so special as other people. The task is too demanding. It's too hard for me. The time is not right. You don't see when God spoke to me to go in Iraq, in the Middle East, in that time was exactly when these evil people, ISIS, was taking over all the nation. I looked to God and I said, God, you don't see I have a wife and 4 kids. And I was seeing, telling in my mind, the time is not right. But sometimes I got the message from the Holy Spirit, and sometimes God gave me a message preaching to different churches, and I was confused and said, God, the teaching can be so dangerous for some of the people. But the only thing God was asking from me and you is this, to be faithful. Smith Wigglesworth said very beautiful, the reason the world is not seeing Jesus is that Christian people are not filled with Jesus Christ. They are satisfied with attending meetings regularly, weekly. Read the Bible on and off. And pray sometimes. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we experience that. But I believe for such a time as this, we are called for a great calling in our life. And I invite the worship team to come on the stage because we're ready to conclude. My last point is my conclusion for the night. Maybe you're going to be the same as me. You received the message from the Lord. You know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. But you are afraid to deliver the truth. The truth will never change, even the culture does. The truth will be the truth, even we live in a very drifted culture, left and right. And sometimes we, as a young generation, we look to ourselves, we look to our family, we look to our churches, and we look around us what we see, people around us, and say, many times in my mind I said, and many times we say this, let's find a way to bring people around us in our church that they may see the good deeds and praise God the Father in heaven. But you know what, which is the problem I see? And I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm here to speak the truth in love because I love you. Sometimes, instead to preach the truth, we compromise the truth. Sometimes, instead to deliver the message which we know is coming from the Lord, we compromise the message. Not because we are bad people, but just the fact that we want people to be with us. Let me tell you something. If you want to be bold for Jesus Christ, speak the truth. You better stand up for the truth. But listen, do not just stand up because you want to stand up. If you want to stand up for the truth, you better stand tall that everybody's going to see you. You better stand tall that everybody's going to see you around. Let me read something for you. When Jesus elevates a person, He never elevates that person with the desire to just elevate that person for the sake of themselves. When God calls somebody, when God calls you, it's not about your call. When God will put you in the ministry, it's not about your ministry. When God is going to anoint you for a thing, for a ministry, it's not about your anointing. When God elevates a person, it's all about elevating the truth, the Word of God, the foundation of our life. You cannot pay a fee to attend the conference or just come to the conference and have the expectation leaving that conference, you're going to be anointed to do something. You cannot download an e-course online, read it, take the exam, do a school, a Bible school, and have the expectation to be anointed. Let me tell you something. If you want to be anointed, the power of the Holy Spirit is found in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what I believe 100%. The power of the Holy Spirit upon your life and upon my life is found in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not for show. It's for service. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not for Gabby to show up. It's for Gabby to stay humble and let the Holy Spirit do the work in our life. The Holy Spirit, this is like more Romanian style what I'm going to say now. The Holy Spirit do not moves upon systems. The Holy Spirit will always move upon surrender. The Holy Spirit will not move upon the system. We have our own way, own systems. Holy Spirit, if you're going to do this, or in other words, I'm going to do this, you have to follow me. No. The Holy Spirit will always move into surrender. Now the question I have for you. Are you ready to surrender to the Holy Spirit tonight? Are you ready to surrender to the will of God in your life? To the will of God in my life? Gabby, this is for you. The truth will never change, even the culture does. And in that moment, I believe God is looking to some people to raise them up, train them in the Word of God, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and stand bold for the gospel of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we come to the church just because somebody is pushing us to come. Sometimes we do this kind of stuff just because. Let me tell you something. Tonight, I invite you, if you want to stand up for Jesus Christ, do not stand up just because you want to stand up. You better stand up tall that everybody's going to see you. And I invite you to stand up now. As we're going to worship, as we're going to seek the face of Jesus Christ, as we're going to surrender 100% to His will, God from heaven is looking to a church, to a generation which will worship in spirit, in truth. Always we find the revelation in the truth of Jesus Christ. Always we will find a revelation for us in the Word of God. And the question maybe sometimes we have, and the dilemma in this generation, why I'm going to listen more? The Word of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. I believe, as me, what I did, me and my wife and my family, we took it, the Word of God is very serious. As we said, I will never apologize for my beliefs in Jesus Christ, never. People came to me and said, Brother Gabby, you prayed too loud in church. I don't care. Brother Gabby, you pray too much in tongues. And I tell them, you know, those Calvinistic mentality and some, please don't understand me wrong. Brother, but somebody needs to be in church to translate, blah, blah, blah. I have a question for them. And this is my question for them. Is Paul against speaking in tongues? Is Paul again speaking in tongues? What the Bible is saying about this? I speak more? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my guy. That's my guy. You know what? Because sometimes we come with a list of excuses. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to do this. Surrender to the Word of God tonight. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Nothing, nobody, and listen, the Holy Spirit will never move based on a system. He moves based on the surrender. And you know what? Tonight, I'm going to surrender more to the will of God in my life. I'm going to surrender more to His voice, clear voice. In a drifted culture, which is talking about to do this, we want to hear clear the message which is coming. Revival, if you look back in chapter 4, about this woman, when her eye was open to see the reality, who Jesus is, something beautiful is happening that night, that day. Always, listen, the revival will not come just because we want to come. The revival will come in the moment there is a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ. Punct. And in that moment we make that decision. What I love about this woman, from a woman filled with shame, with anger, with anything. This is the Bible, what the Bible says. She dropped the bucket. She didn't care about her reputation. She put everything there to the world. And she went back to her city and said, come and see. This is Jesus. She was not ashamed about her life. She was not ashamed about her reputation. She was not ashamed about her beliefs. She was not ashamed about her family. Because she discovered Jesus, the truth, the gospel. And in that moment, the revival came in her life. And through her life, the revival came in the city. Hallelujah. Because what I believe in, somebody is ready to surround to the will of Jesus Christ. If somebody is ready to surround to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If somebody is ready to surround to Jesus Christ. Not only that God is going to bring revival in their life, but God is going to use them to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer. God, use us more and more for your kingdom. Amen.